Let's break the mold. Start believing and stop waiting for the other shoe to drop. Welcome to Wild on 7, presented by Pilot Games. We're here until it's here.
And welcome back. This is Wild on 7th, your favorite Wild podcast presented by Pilot Games. Doing a little different this week. I'm remote from Dallas. We're post All-Star game. Flew in late last night from Tempe. Good spot. Well, before we get to Mullet Arena, though, Kinger, we're going to have to talk a little bit about the All-Star break. I know you got a chance to go down there. Tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, I went to the ASG. I like the abbreviation of All-Star Game. I think it seems cool. Like I'm texting people, I'm at the ASG. I mostly went to check on Kirill and make sure he was safe and not mingling.
Were you babysitting him?
Yeah. Well, I felt really good about Friday night because best I could tell, he just followed Ovechkin's kid around all night. I don't know his whereabouts after that in the evening. But on Saturday, he appeared to be, you know, they have these clicks at the All-Star Game carts, right? So you got three Colorado guys, they're all playing together. You got Tkachuk brothers, Sid and Ovi. And then you kind of had Kirill sitting there with about 3 feet on the bench, Jason Robertson, another 3 feet, Winnipeg Morrissey. So I feel like he was very safe, and I don't think anybody got to him. I think he's just focused on hockey, and nobody was whispering in his ear. We kept an eye on him.
So was Kirill the only one that didn't have a skills competition event?
He did some sort of goalie passing tandem something, but it was confusing. I think people were trading events, and I don't know. But the Florida fans, my favorite thing was Florida, you know, I think they've made strides in hockey, but on more than one occasion, I heard someone yell out Connor McDavid and point at Kirill because they just had the number, you know, like it was like a license plate. Yeah. Connor McDavid, they would be posing in front of his puck out front. You know, I'm like, that's not Connor McDavid, but it's okay.
That happened on the broadcast a few times too, where they're like, and McDavid. Kaprizov scores, and it's his second All-Star game, but really it was McDavid. It's like, how are you messing that one up? If there's one that you cannot mess up, it's McDavid and Kaprizov. But we'll have to get into the All-Star game with, I suppose I'll drop it right now. We got a big guest again today. It's our boy, big fan of the show, Bill Guerin. I'm curious his thoughts. He's played in the All-Star game. What it's like, is it good for the family guys? Does a guy like Kaprizov like to go to the All-Star game? Would he rather be? He's got to be experiencing some FOMO because we saw a lot of the media that came out of what the other guys were doing on Instagram or what have you, where they were all looking like they're having a great time on a boat or whatever it was they're doing. But for me, the All-Star game, I don't know, the game itself is not that great, but I do like the skills competition, but we didn't get to see Kirill. I think the league had him in fastest skater, which weird event to have Kaprizov in, if you ask me. Like, he should be in like accuracy shooting or something like that. And I do think that there's a story behind that where maybe Kirill flexed on the league a little bit and was like, I'm not doing fastest skater. So that's part of the reason why maybe he was in a passing event.
He doesn't like reindeer games, the Russian. He just would prefer to play hockey. My only notes were, I'll give you some outtakes from All-Star Weekend. So the game's super weird because they want it to be a regular game, but it's totally not a regular game, right? So they should do, right, like, you should have Manning cast, you know, people talking, you know, during the broadcast, or just play music, or, I mean, it could be anything you want it to be, but they're kind of stuck in this. You saw it in the 3-on-3. Somebody scored and they were reviewing offsides. It's almost like the whole crowd's like, really? Like, no, really?
Yeah.
It's like you're playing Red Rover in the backyard and somebody's going to Toronto to look at it. But
yeah, I was just going to say, you know what would be unreal is if you could, if there was like a Manning cast, and then you could have like direct audio right to their ear. So one of these guys is on a breakaway, then all of a sudden you just pop in and be like, hey, forehand backhand, you know, like a hockey dad with his earbuds and his kid out there on the ice or something. That'd be hilarious.
The hockey helper helmet. I think they should, I think they sure for sure should just get loose with it and try a bunch of stuff. But I mean, seeing Sid and Ovi on a line together, passing five times and scoring, was great. It was like an Avengers movie with all these you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, all of them mixing together. It was pretty cool. The Kachek brothers are pretty hilarious. They actually went to the, you'd like this. So there was an NHL party Saturday night, but the players don't go to that stuff. And there you have both Kachek brothers, their dad, all their family, eating the food, mingling with the people, taking pictures, you know, grabbing a, you know, a White Claw or whatever they were doing. It was just, it was like, I'm like, this is great. They're like the Griswolds or something. The Kachucks are great.
Yeah, they do seem like they have a good time. They, I think they also wanted to, they really wanted to win that. If, after the kids were scoring on the ice, they pan up to the parents in the stands and they were going bananas. I think it was probably good for the All-Star game too that some people went in there wanting to win it. But you touched on Crosby and Ovechkin being together out there. For whatever reason, that just doesn't feel right. Doesn't it feel like they should dislike each other? Well, I mean,
I don't know.
I wish that there was like a little hate there.
I don't know that they do like each other, but they did it, and it was pretty great. You know, the tic-tac-toe passing was great, and, you know, it was – there was moments, I think, like what I found is I like watching who the tryhards were. So there's – I would say more than half of the guys are deliberately trying to look like they're not trying hard, Kirill included. Right. And then you have like Dylan Larkin is like, just like, you know, he's in gym class, you know, eliminating people from, you know, and then McKinnon is a tryhard. The Kachucks for sure wanted to win, but I kind of give the hometown guys a little bit of a pass. Connor Hellebuck wouldn't even drop into the butterfly when they would shoot. He would just flex his knees and the puck would go between his legs. And you'd hear like Florida people like, come on, you know. Dylan Larkin and Nate McKinnon, if you're in gym class, those are the guys you want in your squad because as best I can tell, they don't like losing at anything.
No, yeah. They were probably the most fun to watch, right? And they probably got the most attention. Guys were chirping them, giving them a hard time a little bit. But you're right. The whole goal of the All-Star game is to be as good as you can possibly be while making it look like you're trying as little as possible. But that's why I think the setup is weird. I actually think the guys, they don't care about the money or winning that one. I think the most important thing is that they don't get hurt. What they should do is somehow beef up the skills competition, make those skills a lot better. I think the guys would actually try really hard and give it the best. Cause what we want to see from that group of guys is their skills, what they're good at, not 3-on-3 hockey kind of floating around, make that skills competition something where they're battling with one another. They're not going to get hurt like accuracy shooting, but put something massive on the line, like golf. You 3-foot putt is a lot harder with, you know, 10, 20, 100 bucks on the line, whatever you want to put on it, right? Put something on these skills competitions and let's see what it is. I'd love that.
What did you think of Fiala's mustache?
I loved it. He had the aviators on too. It looked like the I don't know, like the California Highway Patrol. Like he's yeah, all in West Coast with that mustache.
Yeah, he kind of brought me back in. You know, I had cut that limb off, but I didn't. You wouldn't want to look straight into Kevin's eyes. I don't think he was looking pretty cool at the All-Star game for sure.
The story I heard with Kaprizov in his event was fastest skater, but somehow he was able to talk Fiala into taking that event for him, so that Fiala was now in the fastest skater, but that left Kaprizov without an event. But how about that? Two old teammates just
doing some barter.
Yeah, you do fastest skater. Yeah.
They took a picture together. I saw that too. They were looking good. I want to. Can we talk? So you're out in Arizona yesterday, and now in Dallas today. What was your take on Mullet Arena? Obviously, you have the mullet. I saw that they had Gorgy with some sort of attachment there. That's nice. Is it a great environment, or is it just a kind of small rink with a cool name?
Yeah, it's a great environment. For college, it would be fantastic. A great, good-sized building. Ceilings are low. Noise, like the audio was terrific. Everything about it was good for a college rink. And it was exciting. It was a cool atmosphere, I think, for an NHL game to be played in. But it kind of, at the same time, maybe felt a little bit like a preseason game. Because you see these sometimes where you'll go into, and I've played with the Wild. We flew into Penn State and played in their arena. It just didn't feel right. And it was also a little bizarre, too, because the broadcast location, there's like not a legit pod, or press box. We were just like mingled, mixed in with the fans, which I thought was really cool. But at the same time, I saw like Billy Guerin have to walk around the concourse and, you know, right there with the fans. So it was a little bizarre in that sense too. I also think that the way it's set up, it just looks different to the players' eyes while they're on the ice. The, you know, the seats are right there, lower, smaller bowl, lower ceilings, smaller scoreboard. But I thought it was cool. I really did. I liked Tempe too. Great city. So I enjoyed it.
What did you make of the, is that just a game where we're shaking off the Cabo dust or whatever, wherever they went? Or, because when I was watching the broadcast, you made a comment at one point, like, you know, if Arizona, you know, had some finishers, this could have maybe even been worse, I think, you know. So how was that as a loss overall?
Well, I think you have to be, if you're the Wild, you have to be careful because you don't want to put too much stock in one game after a 7-day layoff and then all of a sudden start panicking because of it. And at the same time, I think you want to be like, all right, well, what are we? Are we, you know, the type of club that's going to go in and lose to Arizona? But I didn't think that the Wild played that bad. I thought they looked pretty good. They just, it's kind of like the same thing though. They can't score, you know, they're the 5-on-5 scoring last year that they were third in the NHL. Now they're the bottom tier in the league. I don't know what they are after last night's games, but it's not good. And that's really the difference right now is they too didn't have finishers. It's the top line did their thing and then nobody else could put the puck in the back of the net. But the Coyotes were a hardworking team and they're going to play defensively is good and sound and battle as they can because they're playing for like their livelihood, for their jobs, right? Their careers could be over. If you're a UFA on that team, your career could be over because, you know, who's going to go pick a guy up off a team like that? So they're playing their butts off. And but I think the Wild on the airplane after, I haven't seen the club and the guys like that disappointed. I think that they were upset with themselves.
Yeah, part of it with 5-on-5 is we really weren't 5-on-5 very much, right? So many penalties. And, right. You know, it was interesting over the break. I kind of found myself fascinated by Brandon Duhaime, right? Like watching these pictures of this guy. And he's like our own personal Aquaman or like international man of mystery. And that fourth line did not get a lot of ice. But when they were on the ice, like he was just run. I can imagine how Dean's frustrated with the penalties. It's like, if I could throw these psychopaths on the ice a little more, you know, balance things out, find a couple lines scoring instead of one. I think the penalties really jack up what we're trying to do as a hockey team.
Yeah, and there's... The Dean has often said he wants to be a 4-line team. The penalties turn him into really a 2-line team because yep. you start taking penalties, you take your top line off, you take your fourth line off. That's it. So all of a sudden they're just playing that second and third line, trying to get their guys out there, kill these penalties off. And then after they kill it, they throw that top line out there with Boldy. So then it takes a while to get their rhythm back. And yeah, they shot themselves in the foot, but the Wild, and it's the kinds of penalties I think that are probably the most frustrating to it. Like you'll take some of the roughs if you had like a heavy hit and you took an elbow or a charge or something. Sometimes you'll be like, okay, we're playing our brand of hockey. That's okay. It's the stick penalties that the high stick, a trip, a hook. Those kinds of penalties are the ones that get you like, hey man, like this can't happen because it's killing us right now. It's absolutely killing us. So they are one of the most, if not the most, penalized team in the NHL. So they're starting to get that reputation, and they just have to be really careful with their sticks because they're going to get the ticky tacky ones. Because I think the referees come into games at times thinking like this is one of those teams that just takes loud penalties.
And you can tell they know now, man. When Hartman got that one, I mean, he just looked like he would have thrown himself out of a window if he could have. I mean, he's like, no, we're not supposed to do this. And I did it. And now I got to go sit there. And oh man, it's like, can you be they say, you're holding your stick too tight. We almost have the same thing happening with penalties right now. Right.
Yeah. Well, did you see Hartman's body language after he took his trip?
He was devastated.
He was devastated, crushed him. It's like, the open to the broadcast was like, hey, this reset button, could be huge for Hartman. He had 33 even strength goals last year. He's got 5 to this point this year. Lost the spot on the top line. Hasn't been good. Got injured. So, boom, you got a week. Hit the total reset button. Come back. And what happens? Of course, he takes a penalty. And then they score on that power play. It's like, oh, great. Like the recent memory that you wanted him to erase is all of a sudden right back there in the forefront. So that was no good. But you know what will help that is probably a good night's sleep for Ryan Hartman. And we know some guys that if he has issues sleeping, he might be able to get some help with.
Yeah, if he was, had some energy issues, maybe even some relationship stuff with his new bride, if he's, she's snoring or what have you. What I would tell him to do is go to mygemsleep.com/wild, because there's about 30 million people, Ryan, with sleep apnea, but only really about 5 million know it. So there's just a bunch of zombies walking around out there. And the beauty of Gem Sleep is that they make it convenient for you. They will come to you. They do it fast. A lot of these places, it takes them months to get in. These guys will do it in a day, and they make it super easy for you. And, if Hartsy had a good night's sleep, he'd have better energy, a better relationship and better health, a lower heart rate, lower blood pressure. So check out mygemsleep.com/wild. That was crisp, tape to tape, buddy.
That was tape to tape.
We owe him We owed him that.
We got Hartman a good night's rest. Now it's about building your game back up. And we have some guys that could probably help him with that too. We're talking about Wild Construction. And we say this often, no, the Minnesota Wild, they're not getting into the construction game, totally different company. But these guys specialize in roofing, siding, insulation. And yeah, maybe last game Ryan Hartman said, damn that ice. He was not happy. But you at home, if you say ice damn, if you have issues on your roof, it's been a tough winter for that. Maybe your insulation isn't right and you're thinking, okay, you know what? I'm going to go through this summer. I'm going to take care of this so we don't have these issues next year. Make sure you check out Wild Construction. They can do the insulation. They can't do the roof right now because you got those ice dams up there, but they'll take care of it in the summer. Siding, any of that stuff that you need, they can take care of. Wild Construction will make it happen. Local business, locally owned. Check them out. Yeah, good dudes by recommendation. Boom. What do you think about that one? Tape to tape. That was pretty good.
That was good. I feel like we're trending. We're going to have a guest join us now, I believe. So this guest is going to be sponsored by Duke Cannon. Work harder, smell better. Nothing better for your hair and hygiene than local company.
Let's bring in the big guy.
Billy G.
Let's bring in the big guy.
Here he comes. Well, every once in a while we get one of the big boys to come down and visit with us. And today we're lucky to have Wild GM Billy Guerin. This interview is sponsored by Duke Cannon. Work harder, smell better. Nothing better for your hair and hygiene than local company Duke Cannon. They give a portion of their proceeds to the U.S. military. Check out Duke Cannon at Target or DukeCannon.com. So, Billy, hey, what did you think of Mullet Arena? Do you like it, or is it just a kind of weird rink with a cool name?
Definitely has a cool name. Totally appropriate for the game of hockey, wouldn't you say? Look, for a college arena, it's absolutely fantastic. I mean, it's great. And, I have to be honest, it's better playing there in front of a full house than playing out in Glendale. In front of a half, or not even half, three quarters empty place. So, yeah, I think the Coyotes have done a nice job with what they've had to work with, and it seems like it's working. I mean, they play well there. They've got a winning record there. So it's, I liked it.
It looked like the Wild travel. Yeah, they have it. Well, too. I heard the fans on the broadcast. I could hear Let's Go Wild, unless I was missing something.
Oh, yeah.
Did we take over that building or what?
Yeah, we did. And our fans travel really well. Like we have a lot of support in a lot of away buildings. And it's funny, it seems to be the warmer weather teams where we have a ton of support. I don't know why, but it seems to be a common theme.
And it's not just all the snowbirds. We saw there's young folks there too, supporting the Wild. But I saw you down in the stands with the family. How was that? Because like there wasn't like a press box, there wasn't like an event level to be down there, and so it was kind of like, hey, you're just right there with the fans. I thought it was kind of fun. Our broadcast location was right there, so I'd be curious if the viewers could hear people run by and say hello and stuff. But what'd you think of that?
Yeah, I thought it was great. It's kind of weird. My wife and I were talking about it with our daughter Lexi, who goes to ASU. It was kind of like our two worlds colliding. Like, you know, we're usually down there, you know, visiting her, going to her lacrosse games, you know, just being, you know, regular college student parents and doing all that. And then, you know, and then the team rolls in and it's like, oh, wow, now we've got Lexi's world and my world and it's all kind of intertwining. And it was really fun. It was great to you know, have Lexi and a bunch of her friends, you know, at the game. And yeah, it was cool. I enjoyed it.
So on the podcast, we've talked about the fact that we think nachos are maybe the official food of hockey, just like every rink has nachos. I think it was your wife got nachos.
Did you see that?
Yes, I saw it. Like that was, it was no good.
It's like she went to the grocery store and bought them. And snuck them in. It was like a full bag of Tostitos.
Were they good or were they bad?
I don't know. I didn't get
it. It was like a Tostitos little cheese like packet.
Yeah,
cheese.
Yeah.
It wasn't like the hot cheese. You had to peel it and serve it on a plate.
Yeah, right. Like a paper plate?
You had cheese enough for four chips.
No, no.
But they gave you a full bag. They gave her a full bag of chips.
That's unfortunate.
I was up in our GM booth. Madonna comes in and he's got his son Jack with him, which is awesome. But then they rolled in and they had like chicken fingers and fries and popcorn. I stole one of the chicken fingers. That was really good.
Hey, you know, Billy, I went to the All-Star game over the weekend and it's such a kind of a weird event, right? It's trying to be a regular game, but it's not a regular game. Everybody's there. What was your take on, you know, All-Star games as a player? And then what do you think of them now as a GM?
I loved them as a player, but so back when I was younger, I loved watching the All-Star game. I loved it. But the guys played hard. Like, if you watch those games, like, back in the 80s, like, the early 80s, they played hard. Like, they, you know, I think they got money to win, and guys weren't making the money that they make nowadays, so they needed it. They wanted it. And, you know, they were finishing hits and blocking shots. And, you know, obviously you got away from that. But the couple that I played in, it was more of a game. It was 5-on-5, and I'd like to see it get back to that because I think it's kind of lost its steam, and I'd rather see a game, and I'd rather see in the skills competition. I'd rather see the real skills. I don't want to see guys' kids out there. I just don't, and I just think I don't want to see them dressed up in goofy outfits either. I want to see some skill.
Yeah, I was wondering on those on those skits if they is the league basically like, okay, Jack Hughes, you're going to be a magician. We got a box. Here's what you go. It feels almost like that's what happens now. Like we've got something set up for you, Pasta. You're going to do Happy Gilmore. Or are the players doing that themselves? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Yeah, it is goofy now. Go ahead, Cards.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
You know what? Honestly, I'd love to see the skill. I want to see, you know, the old races that they used to do and the shooting and all that stuff. It's just, you know, I'd rather see that.
I'm with you 100%. So I'd be curious, like your take as a GM, you'd still probably vote for something like that because it's your guys out there that could potentially get hurt. I think at times like that's what it's about. It's protecting the guys, but trying to make it fun. But I do think that you're right, that the product is now about like trying to showcase the players as people, not about their skills. But at the same time, I tune in because I want to see what the best players in the world can do. Not like them try to be funny whatsoever. Yeah. But I actually think, and tell me if you think that this would be valuable. I think that they should put a ton of money on the skill stuff, not on the game. Like if they're just going to go through the motions on the game, just let them go through the motions. But the skills, put a bunch of money on the skills. Let them and then have these guys show off what they can do, because then they'd really compete. Like an accuracy shooting, they'd really compete. That would be fun to watch guys with like money on the line.
Yeah, I don't care what it is. You could put a six pack of beer up for it. When guys start competing, they are going to compete, and they want to win, and that's just the nature of the beast. And I just think a regular game, like you don't have to finish hits. You don't have to, you know, take guys out or anything like that. It's just play a regular game. Like, I mean, it doesn't have to be, to me, it doesn't have to be 15 to 14. It really doesn't. But you can have a pretty good game.
Billy, you would have liked it. They had the NHL party, right, with all the sponsors and partners. And obviously the players don't go near that with a 10-foot pole, with the exception of the entire Tkachuk family. Both boys, dad, I think they must have had 50 people. They're pulling, you know, rice and, you know, and pork off of plates and taking a picture here and there. It was awesome. It was like the Griswolds at the NHL party. You got to love the Tkachuks.
Yeah, you got to love them there. I mean, my God, the old saying, they don't grow up like the neighbors. It's those boys are the spitting image of Big Walt. And yeah, they've turned into some really good hockey players, but they're just a crew, you know. And we kind of went, and like me and, you know, Keith and Dougie Waite playing on all those national teams together and everything, all of our kids – were at those events together, like Olympics and World Cups. And it was just a big, yeah, but we, you know, everybody had extended family, but the Tkachuks now are just, yeah. And then when Big Walt gets going, it's, you know, it's tough to stop him.
He was going, he was going.
They're always fun. They're a blast. They're just a blast.
So you have the All-Star game and you have one player there and then you have the All-Star break. Do you think the break is valuable for the guys, like the time of the season, like to just get away? Like, is it valuable or is it like?
No, I think it's great. Honestly, I think the game's more demanding now than ever. The schedule is crazier than ever. It's just, yeah, these guys, they just, I mean, look at our schedule coming up. Like it is unbelievable. And you know what? Their bodies, like, they can't take it all the time. Like, you need a break. Like, and I think the bye week combined with the All-Star weekend and give these guys a good, you know, 8, 9, 10 days, I think it's really important. And I think mentally and physically, it just gives them a breather. It's just a crazy schedule.
What does it say about a team when you see that they all go together? Like, you think that they'd want like a break from one another or just a break from the routine. But at the same time, like, you see these guys and they all enjoy each other's company. They all hang out. Like they kind of impresses me.
Yeah, me too. And I was really surprised to hear that. I mean, yeah, usually you get, you know, maybe a little group heading out here, another one there. Individuals going to see other people or whatever, but yeah, I was really happy to hear that. I think it's great. I think when they choose to hang out together, it's you know, it's pretty cool.
Hey, what are you going to do for Super Bowl? You got any plans? You host a party? What do you got going?
Yeah, I usually host a party. That's pretty much been the tradition. Yeah, I like Super Bowl Sunday. For years and years and years, my kids thought Super Bowl Monday was a holiday.
What should be?
Because they never had to go to school.
That's you're a good American, Billy. You're a good American. It truly should be a holiday. Hey, I want to talk a little bit about Brandon Duhaime, mostly because, you know, the fourth line didn't play a ton last night with some of the penalties, but I was just watching this guy run around and watching him catch fish on the break, and it's like he's Aquaman. He plays at like a over speed. Can you talk a little bit about number 21? I just found myself wanting to see him run around more on the ice.
Yeah, that's just it. You know what, his main job is to, you know, be disruptive out there. And You know, when he's skating, I mean, you can see how strong he is. Like, his stride is really strong. And he just, when he starts motoring, he's tough to catch, and he can catch you. You know, what we saw before he got injured this year was that he was adding a little bit of a scoring touch too. So I think he, you know what, he's a very effective player for us, and you know, just looking for him to continue to get better. But he brings his competitiveness every single night, and that speed is exactly what we're looking for.
To your overall assessment, like state of the team, I think you can't put too much stock in one game. Yeah, it would have been great to win in Arizona and then, you know, get this, you know, post break and just go on a run like that. But what's your assessment of where the team's at right now?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we're in a good spot. You know, we're not like super comfortable, but we're in a good spot. We've played really well in stretches. We've played okay in stretches, and we had a terrible start, but you know, the team's done well. I mean, yeah, you know, you want to win that game coming off the break. That was a tough game to go and play in Arizona in that building for the first time coming off a break. You know, that was tough. I would like to see us get a little more consistent, you know, and stay out of the penalty box a little bit more. But you know what, we've been pretty good. You know, we need some guys to start scoring a little bit more, not just 5-on-5, but period. Like, we need more depth scoring. And I really do think that taking penalties the way we did last night really, really affects that in a negative way, because it disrupts the entire game. And, you know, but that being said, we need some more, you know, offensive contributions from certain guys.
Hey, Billy, what do you think the identity of this year's team is? Like, can you remember a game you watched and it got done and you were like, that was a steak dinner. That is us. That is how we're supposed to play hockey, Minnesota Wild, this year. What do you think the identity is of this year's team?
Well, I like the Philly game. You know, and I know not every night we're going to have, you know, four or five fights or this or that, but the competitiveness, that's what I like. You know what, the no BS stuff, like we're going to take care of business type thing. That's what I really liked. I mean, you know what, we have to play a fast, big, heavy game. That's it. You know what, like I've always said, if we try to, you know, dipsy do and, you know, out finesse everybody, it's just not going to work. That's not the way we're built. It's not the way we can win. So when we play fast, when we play heavy and hold on to pucks, and you know, we, like I said about Duhaime, and we disrupt, then we're pretty good. But if we're not playing to that identity, you know what? We're just not helping ourselves.
Has played to that to some degree a little bit. Like, it's been more of a grind year than last year, for example. But what doesn't get a lot of credit, and this was a stat that we used in the broadcast, and I don't think it got talked about enough, but going back to November 19th, the top teams and you talked about the poor start, in terms of record since November 19th, it's the Hurricanes, the Bruins, the Lightning, the Leafs, and then the Wild. So they've been playing good hockey, collecting points in the standings, but it hasn't been like your 6-2 win. It's the games like Philly where it's a grind. You have to do it, but it's been like a consistent grind like that for them. So all of a sudden it's like, maybe the Wild don't get the credit they deserve for being that good, but it's been great since then.
Yeah, I you know, but that goes to show how a bad start can really have a huge effect on where you are in the standings. So you know, as you said, since November 19th, I mean, that's almost 2 months now. Like, that's a long time. Like, that we've been good. So that poor start really kind of, you know, hurt us. No, we haven't been bad, but like, I want to see that consistent, hard to play against game, that we're known for. As for getting credit, you know, like you said, like kind of flying under the radar. I don't really. Yeah, I mean, hey, look, we'd all like our team and our players to get more credit than they do. But I think we've gotten more than maybe more any Minnesota Wild team in the past. And to be honest with you, we can't really get too caught up in looking for credit. We just got to keep getting points. We got to keep winning games and just trying to move up the standings. That's the most important thing.
When you look,
so you talked about the slow, sorry, King, I'll get the slow start for the team. How does that affect the guys individually? Because like right now you're looking for more 5-on-5 scoring, and there's guys like Ryan Hartman that had 33 last year, 5 to the point right now. You had the grief line, which I'll probably follow some of the question on the grief line. Is like how come they're not as effective offensively as they were last year? Is the slow start, did that put everybody behind the eight ball individually too?
I think so, yeah, because it affects your confidence. And when you're, I mean, everybody know, hey, look, confidence is a really powerful thing. And when you have it in the game of hockey, you feel like everything's in slow motion. Everything's right out there in front of you, and you can skate. You almost feel like you can do what you want. You get a puck on your stick, you know you're going to bury it. When you don't have confidence, it's like you touch the puck and there's 5 guys on you and there's no time. And, you know, your hands are made of stone and you can't make a play and you get an open net and you shoot it wide. That it's just the whole world comes crumbling down on you. And it takes a long time to build the confidence back up. It takes 2 seconds to lose it, but it takes a long time to build it back up. And, you know, we're just looking for guys to get more confident and to get that feeling back. But I think when you have a poor start collectively as a team, yeah, it can really chip away at the individuals.
You see it with Boldy, really, I think, with that deal coming in. And he just almost – it's like he's playing 7 foot, 7 inches, 7 inches tall, you know, with his new deal. So, you know – How do you get confidence? Is it just chipping away, having a couple good shifts, a couple good games, and it builds on itself, Billy?
But you have to work towards getting those games. You just can't wait for the good games to happen. Say, oh, hey, I had a good game tonight. You have to do something to go out and get yourself out of it. You can't talk your way out of it. You can't pray your way out of it or wish your way out of it. You have to go out. You know, in my opinion, you have to go out and get your nose dirty. You have to go and get cross-checked in the back or punched in the face to score a goal. Pay the price. You have to get into the nitty-gritty of the game and grind your way out of it. That's only because other than that, you can't score your way out of a slump or, you know, a broken confidence or anything like that. You really just have to get in there and pay the price to get out.
I like that. Pay the price. Carson, do you have a follow-up on your earlier question?
Well, no, but what I would say is these guys do have to take care of their bodies. And I'm going to go on a tangent here for a second, Billy. Thank you for your patience. You got to take care of your bodies. Long flight last night. Sometimes you could be dehydrated in these situations. And what you really need to do is drink good quality water. And if you're looking for that, you should really get it from Aquarius Home Services. I know I do. I've got the Kinetico K5 system right at the tap, the faucet at home. It's the only water we drink. We love it. We feel good when we drink it. It's healthy. There's no additives, reverse osmosis. These guys, we've got to find a way to bottle this stuff for these guys. We'll have that on the plane. That will be no problem at all. Aquarius Home Services, water, Kinetico K5 system. But make sure you check them out. Billy, if you need anything at your house fixed before your Super Bowl party, make sure you check these guys out. They do heating, cooling, electrical. They can help with any of your home services. Leave it to the pros, Aquarius Home Services. Check them out, aquariushomeservices.com. I'm going to throw it over to you, Kinger, because as Billy preps for this Super Bowl party he's going to have, he should probably have sensible snacks.
You got to just – Billy putting his
hand – Did you just do that?
Putting his hand over his face while you did that. I think that's the first time I've seen Carter blush, actually.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, I'll sneak mine in.
What is it again? What is it again? Because
Aquarius Home Services.com. Yeah.
Okay.
Check it out. They're good.
Do you want? Hey, Billy, you want?
I'm gonna write a note.
Billy, I'll do an ad read, and you tell us who did better. Okay. So, Billy, when you have your Super Bowl party, one of the things you should pick up is some chunky blue cheese dressing from Jimmy's. I'm serious. Because you could do like a buffalo chicken dip. You could mix it with French dressing. It's a very Midwestern thing to do. I know you're from the East Coast, but a little bit of chunky blue cheese dressing mixed with French. A grandpa started the company. A grandpa Jimmy started it. It's family run, Minnesota based. They're down in Stuartville, Minnesota. And they got a killer tagline. Don't you be messing with my dressing. That's way better than Carts, right? Is that better? Who's on the top line after that?
It was.
It's close.
At least you told me. I thought Carts was going to go on a tangent about hockey.
He didn't bring you in. He just kind of like went into a robot. I brought you in.
Yeah, I guess I was expecting you. I'm going to give you the nod, Kinger, just because Carts was a little more shameless. Like it just, I don't know, kind of came out of nowhere. It did a very good job, Carts, and I'll look into that. But I'm going to get some Jimmy's chunky blue cheese.
I like it. Hey,
I'll get the water too. I'll get the water.
He's doing all of it. Hey, just
you guys. All right, then I'll do my shameless plug.
Well, yeah. Okay? What do you got? What are you selling, Billy?
I'm just going to have a fridge full of Bud Light. That's it. That's my Super Bowl party.
I like that. No other options.
Bring your own food. I'll supply the Bud Light.
I like it. Hey, I wanted to hear, you're looking ahead. You got Dallas, Vegas back-to-back. A little Jack Hughes comes to town. One of the Kachuk boys after that. When you look at this next stretch of games, what do you want to see from our squad?
Well, we're definitely going to have to be ready. This is by far our toughest stretch of the season. Dallas is a really good team. Jersey's played well all year, you know, Florida. Obviously Vegas is a big rival of ours. We've got to be ready for playoff type hockey the next 10 days. And I want to see us prepared for it. And it should be good.
I think so too. Carter,
I've got one more for you. Yeah, one more for you, Billy, before we...
One more plug or one more question?
He's just going to turn into a
one
robot.
One more question.
And just start spitting out stuff and not looking you in the eye.
One more question. I kind of feel like it's after the All-Star break, now it's kind of a race to the deadline. And how does the deadline work as a GM? Like, does your phone start to get busier and busier, ring off the hook? Do you have to have a plan for it? Do you wait for things to come across your desk? Like, what's the plan as that approaches?
Really, it's just touching base with, you know, all the other teams and kind of getting an idea of what they're looking to do and players that they'd possibly move. Do any of them fit our team? What are the asks? What are we willing to give up? Something might come out of nowhere. But I think right now it's more information gathering. And, you know, we have an idea of what we'd like to do, but then we have to get all the information and see if we're going to be able to accomplish that.
Well, hey, Billy, thanks for coming on with us. And to all the Wild fans, man, let's take it to heart these next 10 days. Let's pay the price ourselves, get the 7th Street Savages going, and let's trade some paint and win some games here, bank some points. So, Billy, thanks for being on with us and taking some time. Always good to see you. We hope to have you on again, and let's keep rolling, baby. We're here.
Good.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on, fellas.
Peace, Billy. Thank you.